and say that if we are given y and the hash of y, we should not be able to find another message x, so the hash of y is equal to the hash of x. So basically, in 2b, we show that it's very easy to find another x, so that the hash of x is equal to the hash of y. Right. So in other words, this is not a good hash function. It's a good one-way function, but it's not a good hash function, because it provides one-way function operation, but it's not second pre-image resistant, and if it's not even pre-image resistant, it's definitely not collision resistant. Right. So it gives one of the three security properties we need for a hash. Right. So in answer, it's a bad hash function. Okay. For question 3, so first we use the hash function h of x of output length 128 bits, which accepts input in blocks of 16 characters, meaning that a message is always split into blocks of 16 characters and input into the hash function. Right. So we want to hash a message. The message is the message. It has 10 characters. And because we can only hash 16 characters at a time, so remember, hash function is similar to block function. They have a block size. You cannot mess around with the block size. So now we pad it with 6 zeros. Right? This is the rule that we decide on in our system. Right? Show that if we are using this padding scheme, it's trivial to come up with different messages which produce the same hash value. Okay, so different messages don't necessarily need to be logical messages, right? It could be any different messages than the message that will give us the same hash value. Okay, and then the first trick, or the first thing that we need to remember, is that we're not actually hashing the message. What actually goes into the hash function is the message followed by 6 zeros. So the simplest solution here is we have the message padded with 6 zeros, and it can be any message, and it does not need to make sense. So we can use all the following messages. We can use the message 0, which will be padded with 5 zeros, the message 00, which will have 4 zeros, the message 000, which will have 3 zeros, the message 0000, which will have 2 padded zeros, and the message 00000, which will have 1 message, 1 zero pattern, right? And after we pad all these different messages, they all correspond to the message followed by 6 zeros going into the hash function, right? And if we hash the same thing, we're going to get the same hash result, right? So all of these messages will end up hashing to the same value. So the following question is, can we have a better padding scheme that does not allow this to happen? So what we can do is we can change this padding scheme as follows. We can say rather than just padding with all zeros, we can pad with 1 followed by 0. Right? So if an attacker now tries the same scheme and they change it to the message 1, the actual message would be the message 1 with 1 followed by 1000, which would be different. There's only one special case here, and it's if the message is actually only 14 characters long, right? So then we can have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, and we would pad it with 1 0, and we can choose another message, the 14 characters followed by 1 0. That could be the legitimate message. The legitimate message could be 16 characters long with the same 14 initial values as us, and then with 1 0. And if we pad this, they will end up to be exactly the same message. Right? So what we will have is one special rule that says even if a message is 16 characters long, we are then going to pad an entire additional block, right? And then encrypt that block. Right? Hash that block too. So hash both blocks. So this is actually quite common. If you have access to some kind of Linux machine and you want to play with OpenSSL, if you go into OpenSSL and you actually try to do encryption and you try to do max, right, you will often see that if your message that you put into it is exactly the same size as a block, it will actually encrypt one extra block. Right? And it's basically trying to protect against different issues arising with the padding, right? With the padding scheme. Okay? Remember that padding schemes in those cases, if you're padding bytes, 1 byte missing is 0,1, 2 bytes missing is 0,2, 0,2. Okay? So in this case, so if we did the same thing here, basically what would happen is instead of padding with all zeros, we will pad with all sixes. So it will be the message 666666. Right? So in this case, if we followed the padding, it would be the message 05555. And it would be 00444. And this one would be 000333, 000022, and 000001. That would be the real padding scheme that people would use. But you would still get into trouble if the message is exactly the same thing. Then you might have some issues. Right? Because it might be that I also try some other messages out. So normally people pad an entire extra block. Okay, so then the final one, assuming that the padding scheme is secure, what is the estimated computational effort needed to find a collision on the hash? So remember we did the experiment with the birthday, we said that the effort to find a hash on a collision on the hash is dependent on the size of the output of the hash function. So if it has an n bit output, the collision effort is 2 to the n divided by 2. Okay? So if our output is 128 bits, then basically the effort is 2 to the 128 divided by 2, which is 2 to the 64. So we can estimate the effort that we can find for a birthday problem. So in reality, this hash function is probably a little bit short. Right? The shortest we should have for a hash function is 160 and up. Okay, 64 is getting a bit easy to search. Okay, so the last question. So we also looked at this in the slides. We said if we simply use CVC mode encryption as is to build CVC max, the following issue can occur. We can basically stitch multiple messages together. So in this case, we have two messages, M0, M1, and a second message, M2, M3, M4. And the question is, can you create a new message, which is M0, M1, wildcard block, so you can choose this block to be anything, and then message block 3 and message block 4, where the MAC tag of this message is the MAC tag of the second message here. In other words, we can stitch the two blocks together, and the MAC for the new combined message will remain the MAC for the second message block. Okay? And for purpose of calculating, we can use the IV equal to 0. Okay? So we can say that the MAC can be constructed from a block cipher in CVC mode. IV is equal to 0. So simply what we're going to do is, for a MAC, CVC MAC, we just encrypt everything with CVC mode, and then we throw away all the intermediate ciphertext, and we only keep the last ciphertext block as our MAC block. Okay? So what happens here is we can do the following. We can first calculate what the MAC is for message 1 and message 2. So message 1 being message 0, message 1, and message 2 being message 2, message 3, and message 4. So what we see is that for the first message, the tag is equal to C1, which is the encryption of C0 XOR to M1. And for T2, the tag is equal to C2, right, which is the encryption of C1 XOR to M3, which is also the encryption of C0 XOR to M3 XOR to M4, which is the encryption of M2 XOR to M3, all encrypted, XOR to M3, all encrypted. Right? And what T1, where I missed this bit, it's the encrypted of M0 XOR to M1, all encrypted. So if we choose our message in the following way, so we have M0, M1, M2 XOR to T dash, the tag for the first message, and M3 and M4. If we now calculate the hash of this message, C0 is equal to the encryption of M0 XOR to IV, which is the encryption of C1 is the encryption of M1, XOR to the encryption of M0, which is encryption of M0, C0, which is equal to the first MAC tag. C2 is then equal to the encryption of C1, XOR to M2, XOR to T dash. Okay? But remember that this C1 is equal to T dash. So we choose the next plaintext block to be M2, XOR to T dash. We basically cancel out the C1, and we are only left with the encryption of M2. So by choosing this block in this way, we've basically erased from the system all memory of what has gone before, of C0 and C1. And essentially, we're forcing the system just to restart re-encrypting M2, M3, and M4. Right? And so it encrypts only M2, then it encrypts M3, and then it encrypts M4, and basically, that would be the same as if we just calculated the MAC tag for the second message, right? Because if we do the CVC mode encryption of M2, M3, and M4, we get MAC tag 2, right? And basically, we're doing exactly the same thing here. We are eliminating the effect of C1 and C0 from the system, of M0 and M1 from the system, and we're forcing the CVC mode encryption that we are using to build the MAC tag with to restart with M2, M3, and M4. So the MAC tag for this entire message is therefore only effectively the MAC tag of M2, M3, and M4, which was the same as the MAC tag for message M double dash, which consisted of M2, okay, so that is why we can, if we use CVC mode only to build the CVC MAC, then we can simply stitch the values together. And it makes it quite, it's quite an interesting attack. You can also actually try it for real, if you play with something like OpenSSL. And you can see that it actually works. Okay. So this is the end of the tutorial, so I'll put the tutorial solutions also on Canvas. So I won't put the notes for the authentication lecture on yet, because we haven't finished it yet, and you don't need it to study for the exam. I will put on the solutions for the tutorial, and later in the week I'll put on the tutorial, the problem set solutions. So I'll give you the problem set solutions, but I'll only post it later. I'll probably post it Friday evening or Saturday. So I first want us to do some marking, just make sure the solutions are correct before I post it online, before I do something that's wrong. So let me confirm that first. So everything else will be on there, and then the solutions for the problem set will be on there on Friday evening or Saturday morning, or all that. But you can study everything else along. Remember that we have the quiz next week. The quiz is the only thing we are having next week. So if you are finished with the quiz, then you can go. So the only thing that's scheduled next week is the quiz. So there's no lecture and there's no tutorial. Only the quiz next week. Okay. If you have any questions during this week, feel free to let me know. Okay, so good time for the studying.